So we have two sets of guest speakers. I'm going to hand over to Alan just now to give you a demonstration of what an elevator pitch might look like. Bear in mind, the idea is that you convince guys like Alan, myself, and others in the audience, like Andrew Hatcher and various others, as I spot them, if they like your pitch, they like who you are, they might then network you into the sorts of people you need. So, Alan.
Thank you, Shai. And hello, everyone. Now, I want you to imagine you are a small group. That might be difficult. You are Cambridge Angels, just a few of you, not all Cambridge Angels. And I'm coming into the room and you're all sitting there, okay, having a cup of coffee or something else. And I've got something important to tell you. Okay, guys, great to see you all. And I really want to give you some wonderful information about an amazing company that I saw last week. This is a company that will produce extraordinary returns. It already has a market position in a market that is established and growing. It has a product and service that is out there and a wonderful team. And if we invest in it, guys, there is definitely a prospect of a fairly early exit at a great multiple. But why is this special? My dear friends, Cambridge Angels, we only invest in tech stuff, don't we? And tech stuff takes a long time to come to fruition. So we invest and we wait and we wait and we wait and some of it happens. But this one is very, very special. It's up and running, it's into market, it's profitable. There's no technology risk. So why don't we refresh the portfolio and extend the portfolio and spread our risks? Now, I can see you're steaming and screaming to hear more about this. I haven't said anything about it. What have I talked about? Returns, market, product, service, team, exit. Wow! Aren't those things that we investors are interested in? Absolutely, they are. But this is a wonderful company. And it is a wonderful story that will be best told to you by the founders. And Warren, my friend in the company, can come in next week and talk to you, so I'm not going to steal his thunder. But here is a taster for you. Who wants a new suit that really fits? Hands up! Don't get it very often, do you? Hey, you don't. So you, with this wonderful company, you can go online. You can choose your material, you can put your measurements in, you can place your order. And 100 or more of Nepal's best tailors will make your suit for you and it will arrive and it will fit in about 8 weeks, but Warren will tell you that when he comes in here. So you've got a wonderful company here. They've got products, they've got customization, they've got personal service, and they give you a wonderful bespoke suit, ladies as well as gentlemen, at bespoke prices. Now, when I saw this, I thought, what a wonderful thing for a technology investing group to put some money into a company that really is out there and making money already and reduce our risks. Major growth opportunities are into shirts. They may be into underpants. I don't know about that. But what I want to do is to bring them in next week. And I want you to listen very, very carefully to what they have to say, my colleagues, because I'm ready to invest, and I hope that you are. That's the end of my pitch. Now, I want you to move forward a week or two, and here we are. And I've convinced my dear colleagues at Cambridge Angels that they really better meet this company. And we can't have both Warren and David here this evening, but dear colleagues, you've taken my advice, you've given time to Warren to come in and talk about his company, a suit that fits, in which we might invest, and I'm so pleased. He's just got off the train and he's here, and I'd like to introduce Warren Bennett of A Suit That Fits.
Thank you very much. Is the mic working?
Yes.
Fantastic. Hi everyone. Thanks for coming and thanks for that fantastic introduction, Alan. And thank you especially to Shai. You've really made me feel very, very welcome I sent over my presentation earlier today, and my God, I felt like I was back in Cambridge. It was marked for the first time ever. So thank you very much. So I'm here today to sort of take you through how we pitch and how we have pitched to all the various stakeholders in a suit that fits. That includes friends, family, customers, and suppliers. And then I'm hopefully going to impart to you some practical tips about what was something you can take away for your own pitches. So first of all, I'm going to run through very quickly our story, who we are, what we do, and how we do it, basically. And it all started back at Cambridge. I was at Sydney Sussex, and I sat. It's quite different to when I was doing engineering. Actually, I sat where you guys are now, and my God, it looks a lot bigger than it did then. So I did engineering, aeronautical engineering at Sydney, and I basically took a lot of gap years. I took one before and one after university because I thought it was a great thing to do, and I loved going teaching. I did voluntary teaching around the world. So something else I also loved was actually getting suits tailored. Now I've had suits from school really. And I've never had them tailored, they've always been a bit too expensive. So when I went abroad and I first experienced this tailoring mecca, it was sort of these kind of side shops down back alleys, and you go in, you choose all your fabric and everything. I absolutely loved the experience. And basically I did this a few times, and I brought them back for formal haul, and they weren't really fantastic suits. So I was quite happy to mess them up a little bit. And eventually, on my second gap year, I was in Nepal at this time, and I was teaching in a school over there. And the school introduced me to a family of tailors, and they were absolutely fantastic. So I got my first ever suit that really fitted, and that was actually a really, really nice suit. So it was olive green. I like to do things a little bit differently. It's a three-piece. I love my three pieces. And I actually got a massive set of flares as well with them, which I thought was fantastic. And I brought them back, and I thought, well, this is going to be brilliant. I know the tailors. I know how to measure. I'm going to actually bring it back for my friends and family. And that's just what I thought I'd do. Now, I finally met up with my friend David, who sadly can't be here with us this evening. And he always loves suits as well. He has a slightly different taste to me. It's quite a lot more conservative. And he took one look at my suit and said, I absolutely hate the flares, but that looks like a fantastic suit. Where can I get one? So that's where we essentially became tailors, for want of a better word. The computer scientist and the engineer, we thought, well, we can definitely do tailoring a little bit better. We can bring this whole experience that I'd had in Nepal back to the customers in the UK. So that very night, we set up the first version of the website. We did it over 24 hours, and it's in the top right-hand corner there. I'm very happy to say that I did the look and feel, the whole thing. It was black, white, red, and grey, and it was just about able to sell a suit. That was David's part of the bargain. He's a bit of a computer genius, and we were up and selling from day one. We took one of my suits down to Hampstead Market, and we put it on a trestle table and onto a dummy, and then straight away, 20 minutes after the doors opened, we'd sold two of them, and we thought, this is absolutely brilliant. Do we have something here? That feeling kind of faded during the rest of the day, as we didn't sell any more that day, but we did actually carry on, and we thought, we're onto something here. And as you can see from our first logo there, it was very much getting the word out there. We thought we'd go for really, really cheap because we can get great prices in Nepal, and you know, we'll build in the extras and make a profit by selling absolutely loads. It didn't really work out like that in the end, but that's where we started. So we've always had a very simple idea, and that's to give everybody a suit that fits. So that's something that fits your budget, your personality, and something that fits you. So it's a very simple proposition. Essentially, we go through everything. You come in online, then you've got what we call the style wizard. So that takes you through everything that everything to do with your style. Now we offer over 40 billion different styles, and we start off at £200. So basically, you build up the price of your suit from what you actually choose on the suit. So whether you want working buttons or a better fabric or a fantastically colourful lining like mine, then you choose all of that, and basically you go through all these 40 billion different options in the space of about 3 minutes. Now, once you've done that, you've got the problem of getting measured. Now, you can get measured in one of three ways. If you went through the whole process online already, you might want to stay online, so do it at home. So we use this what we call the measurement wizard. You can obviously see David's quite technical because they're all called wizards, and he loved Windows. In fact, the whole process, the style wizard is actually built around the way Dell actually builds up their laptops. So you start from a very basic model, then you build it up to, well, that's sort of a very, very, very simple version. Then the measurement wizard basically takes all your measurements and it checks it against our huge database of other measurements. And then it says where you're right or wrong, where you might want to focus. And then it basically says go ahead or you need to check something. The other two ways are that you come into one of our studios, and we've got 26 of those nationwide, or else you can call out a tailor, and we do that in Birmingham, Bristol, Manchester, and London. So those are the three ways. Once you've got your measurements and your style, you basically put them together. It uses David's software to go straight off to Nepal, where it's put onto an order queue, and it's assigned to your master tailor, who then cuts the pattern. It's all calculated via the website, so it automatically overlays a pattern over your body using our software. And then we make the suit, it gets shipped back, and then either if you chose to ship it out, if you chose to get it at home, then we ship it out to you in, well, it's kind of like a pizza box, but it's a suit box in cardboard. Or else you come into one of the branches to get fitted. That's probably the preferred way for most people, at least on their first suit anyway. So that's the process. I'll put that back up there. So that's the map of where we have. We started off in London, so we start off just near Liverpool Street, so where you guys might go into London too from Cambridge, and we basically branched out into Canary Wharf and the West End, and then we've gone up and down the country, going as far north as Aberdeen and as far south as Southampton. We've built up a fantastic team. So as Alan said, we've got over 100 of the best tailors in Nepal. Now, I am biased, so I think I'm permitted to say the best tailors in the world. They are absolutely fantastic. Those guys really know their stuff. Everything in Nepal is hand-tailored. So they completely bought into the idea right from the word go. We've got 35 people in the UK, the majority of which are based in London, and then a lot of them are based in these sort of single-man offices, so who are essentially our tailors and our stylists. So I just wanted to take you through the evolution of the brand. So we started off with that sort of very easy jet look. Now we've got something that's not much better. This is something that I designed in Bahrain Airport as I was going to see the tailors one day. Yes, we thought we needed a logo, so we thought a picture will do. Any picture, and as you can see, it was just any picture. Then we refined it slightly, and up until about 4 months ago, this was how the site looked. So it's a little bit more polished, and gradually we're getting there. We're looking a little bit more professional. We've always invested in our suits primarily, rather than either our premises or the branding. It's actually the product that speaks the most for itself. Speaks the most about the service. Because we had such a small brand. Still is quite small, but hopefully growing. Now, this is what the website looks like today. We've got a whole new brand. In terms of the iconic identity, it's hopefully going to be as big as Nike. It's the pin. As you can see, it's the pin going through the website, and it's all over our website, and it's what we brand our suits with. Now, we don't have labels. We just have an embroidered pin. And that's something that we put through all our collateral, all of our sales, point of sales material, and indeed our van. And I think that says, I take it you're beeping because you like my suit. So it's sort of something, it's designed to kind of make people think, and maybe make people think about the kind of personality the company has. So something that's very friendly, very approachable, and something that's quite new to tailoring, or completely unique, because it's hopefully going to be as big as Nike. It's the pin. As you can see, it's the pin going through the website, and it's all over our website, and it's what we brand our suits with. Now, we don't have labels, we just have an embroidered pin. And that's something that we put through all our collateral, all of our sales, point of sales material, and indeed our van. And I think that says, I take it you're beeping because you like my suit. So it's sort of something, it's designed to kind of make people think, and make people think about the kind of personality the company has. So something that's very friendly, very approachable, and something that's quite new to tailoring, or completely unique, because you'll probably think of, probably be a bit nervous about going into a tailor on your first visit, at least. And they don't have the reputation of being very friendly, so that's one of our points of difference. So here are some suits that you may recognize. On the, yeah, it's your left, yes. Have we got any QPR fans in the house? Yep.
When I was a boy.
Excellent. So I heard somebody shout out Jim Magilton there. He is a fantastic manager, and we actually did all their suits, and he started a really good trend, actually. He left partway through the season, and every time they had to get a new manager, they had to get a new suit, which is absolutely brilliant for business. We did about eight for them, I think, for their managers. We've got Will Greenwood in the centre, the Rugby League World Cup winner. He's a brilliant guy. He comes in quite a lot and lets us take pictures. We also did the world's tallest man. That's David and Johnny, one of our leading stylists. He's Sultan Kozan. He's nearly 8 foot tall. His hands and feet are longer than rulers, the standard rulers that you sort of carry around in your pencil case. He is absolutely massive, but he's absolutely fantastic guy. He actually decided to unveil himself as the world's tallest man because he was looking for a girlfriend. So I think he found one, actually, which is brilliant. And I used to have in the corner over here, did anybody remember Ridian from The X Factor? No? Well, we did Ridian suit, but we did John's as well. We've done various bands, we've done Boyzone as well. I could put them up there, but The X Factor suit is a bit more funny. So success comes from delighting our customers. Now, I've put up a little bit of customer feedback here, and this is quite typical of our customers. They really do get quite fanatical about their suits. They really, really love their suits, and they love to tell us about them, and they come back and back for more. I've got one customer who's ordered 25 of our suits. We've never met him. He's the perfect customer. He requires absolutely no administration, virtually. He's got loads of these suits, and all he does is he varies the sleeve length of his jacket. I don't know what he's doing to his arms. So there we go. I thought I'd include a little bit about how we've done financially. So we've had an average annual growth of 75%. We've got revenues of nearly 3 million now per annum. Hopefully going to be up at 3.5 by the end of the year. We've got customers spending more. So we started off, you can see, below £150 there. And that's quite unique for a brand to actually kind of go from selling really cheaply to more and more expensively, purely because of the perceived value that the customer has and the investment that we've made in the product. So hopefully we're doing something right there. And it's a great business to be in because we've got customers who are spending more and indeed coming back to spend again. So we have an underlying growth of sales outlined there with the purple bars. So those are all returning customers who, once we have their pattern, they know where to come. They're not going to go anywhere else for their tailoring. They know us. And it's a great, great business for retention, as long as you treat the customer right and make sure that they get a great suit every time with a great experience, they're going to come back. So it's a growth that we've had that is sustainable through we're constantly building the database, getting new customers, but having lots of old customers return and get lots more suits. So this is the final slide on our story. Everything that we've done is underpinned by very strong ethical principles. We'll always remember where we've come from. So we actually pay 50% over the local rate to our tailors in Nepal, which is why I can safely say they are the best tailors. We do manage to attract the very best tailors in Nepal. and they're incredibly responsive and incredibly brilliant, and they're wonderful to work with. We also donate 5% on top of our costs back to the school where it all started for me. So we've just finished building a science lab, so you can see me on the right-hand side there in the new science lab. The new project is the computer lab, and that's David's baby, being a computer scientist. A bit closer to home, we deal with, well, we support Crisis and various other homeless charities. So we make a lot of samples. We're constantly sampling new designs and trying to make new cutting-edge iPod pockets, et cetera, some of which go wrong, some of which I tried one out the other day, popped one in the pocket, and it fell out the bottom. Absolutely disastrous. Lucky that didn't go on the market. Sewed it up, and now it's going over to Crisis. And those guys actually rehabilitate the homeless people that come to them. And at the end of the process, they've redone their CVs and everything. They give them a suit, and they get them back out there and get them into an interview and get them back into work. So it's something that we really like to support. So onto the main thrust of my pitch, I guess. When do I pitch? Now, I reckon you pitch all the time. Every conversation that you have is a sales pitch. Essentially, even if you don't have a business, you're selling yourself, you're selling how good you are, you're selling how good your fourth year project is. I know I had to. You're constantly selling everything you're doing. So we've been pitching ever since we started, and I just wanted to take you through the journey of pitching that we've actually had and some of the experience we've had. So first of all, I guess without kind of knowing it, we were actually pitching to family and friends. And that is kind of some of the hardest pitches. I personally had a contract to go and join a big oil company up in Aberdeen. And everybody, including my mum especially, my dad less so, but all my friends, they were like, "Are you sure you want to do this? What are you doing? This sounds a little bit crazy." But eventually you got to convince them that you're doing the right thing. And that's kind of a major hurdle to get over when you're doing something quite so different. And doing something like we did, which is completely new to the market. It's a new market. When we went to market, 95% of people said they would not buy a suit online, and that was essentially our idea. Obviously, it's changed since with the studios. But that's a really, really tough barrier to get over. The second group of people that we actually pitched to were our tailors. So this was less of a difficult pitch because it was business for them, and they completely bought into the concept and the idea of actually working with Bespoke and bringing it to England. They could see exactly how it was going to work. They'd make the suit, they'd send it over, and we'd do all the hard work in the fitting. So they absolutely loved it. This was probably the second most difficult group. It was our prospective customers. In the early days, I'm split them up into two different groups there because our customers tend to be easier to pitch to now because they actually come in telling us what they want rather than us telling them exactly what they want and they want a suit from us. In those early days, the barrier was confidence. We were two guys. Well, actually, one guy. David didn't join me full time until 8 months in, because he was working his second job to try and fund the business using his credit card, which I usually thank David for whenever I mention that. So thank you, David. But it was essentially me in a room with a load of defunct humming computers that made funny noises, and I had to convince our customers who were coming up to see us that we could actually make a suit and do a credible job at it. Finally, we're constantly pitching to our staff and showing them the way. I was about to use the word battle, but it's not a battle. It's a constant process of actually reassuring them that they're with the right people and that we do have growth and that it's something that they want to be a part of and something really, really exciting. So they're all different types of pitches, but it's all essentially giving people confidence in the business. So I thought I'd take you through our customer pitch and how we actually interest our customers nowadays in getting to know us and hopefully coming in for a suit. So first of all, the introduction stage. People find us on top of Google, so we do an incredible amount of work on our SEO, constantly changing the site and adding to it, adding content to the blog, and making sure it's really relevant to suits, so that we are pretty much, you can't miss us whenever you type in anything to do with the suit. You can definitely try that at home. Or perhaps you might have met one of our staff. Now, you might think, Google versus our staff, what's the reach there? It's not massive, but it's really, really compelling. Once you meet one of our staff and you have one of our flyers or you get one of our business cards, you're definitely gonna have been engaged by our staff. And it's a very, very valuable interaction. And actually, 40% of our business comes through referrals. So I should have perhaps said our staff or our customers. Or you may have seen some of our guerrilla stunts. So this is one that we did in the summer. So it was a few years ago now. We actually took a naked guy, body painted, around London in a bowler hat, briefs, and shoes and socks. And we handed out flyers behind him, and it got a tremendous amount of interest on the street, and also in the newspapers. So that's the final place where you might have been introduced to us. Now, once you've been introduced, we hopefully grab your interest by writing the great content that will actually get you fired up about choosing your suit. So some relevant information about the thing that you're interested in, which is hopefully suits at this point. So that has the added advantage, obviously, of taking us up Google, as I said before, but it also makes us a really sticky site. We also try and give the right advice. So I wanted to include this because it is actually quite an integral part of the site. We really want you to get to know us. So we really want to try and engage once we've been introduced. And this is all part of the pitching process again. We're trying to engage you to choose not whether you should get a suit, but which style advisor you should go and see. What kind of suit do you want? So we showcase the personalities of our brand, because people don't really buy from companies, they buy from people. And hopefully you're going to like our people, because that's the way we choose them. And they're constantly talking about what they're doing, hopefully through Twitter, and they're always very approachable. So that's the essence of the brand that we try and get across. We get it across right from the word go in the website. So we build your confidence through winning awards. So this was the main hurdle very early on. We've been lucky enough to win quite a few awards now. Most recently, the Draper's Award, which is an industry award. We won that for the smaller e-tailer of the year, and we stood alongside John Lewis, which I was very proud to do, although hopefully next year we'll beat them. And we've won quite a few awards, and people hear about us that way, so you get that sort of third-party validation. You also gain confidence through third parties when you've got your customers actually referring you, and that's the best kind of referral you can ever get. You also build confidence through the fantastic partnerships that we have with bigger brands who've already got the confidence of their customers. So has anybody heard of Top Table? They're a restaurant booking site, really, really big in London, certainly. And they've just been bought by a company in San Francisco. And of course, T-Mobile. So we're very lucky with our mobile phone plan. We got unlimited landlines, unlimited text, unlimited email, and £2 million worth of advertising. So if you can ever get that deal again, I thoroughly recommend you go for it. The story about how that came about, it might seem a little bit far off if you're thinking about starting a business to get a partnership with a big brand. It was a chance meeting in a bar after one of the awards. So when I was saying that every time you have a conversation, it's a pitching process, I was not joking. We met the business, the manager for T-Mobile Business in the bar, and he said, "Great business, guys. Talk to me a little bit more about it." So we told him exactly what it was all about. Obviously, we gave him some business cards, and hopefully we thought he might be in for a suit, but then he was so impressed that he actually said, "We're looking for somebody to be a part of our advertising, and you guys seem to fit the bill." And we pitched it just right, and we got in there, granted, at the right time, because I think time was running out for them, because they had just, it was a very short lead time. But again, another very happenstance pitch. And we've got some great brand associations as well, which obviously builds the confidence. Once we've engaged our customers, we continue to involve them. So once they've had their suit, we're still pitching to them, but in a slightly different way. We're actually trying to get them involved and get them excited about more suits. So we do this in a number of different ways. We hold fashion shows with our customers, so they actually parade out and walk out in front of. Obviously, we don't force them to do this. So if you become a customer, you don't need to do this if you don't want to. They walk out down the catwalk in front of all the journalists and hire out a nightclub, and it's a lot of fun. You get a lot of sponsors on board, and it's a great night. And we continue to engage them and reminding them that we still exist through our relationship marketing program. So this was last year's Christmas card, and so you can see it's a we try and take the put a bit of fun into it. So we're always reminding them and that we're still around, and that we do actually care quite a bit about them as customers. So I'm hopefully going to give you some real gems of knowledge here. So this is how we pitch, certainly, and it's what's worked for us. Take away from it what you will, but I think they can be quite general points. So I guess I've got six tips, basically. I think, first of all, this is something that a lot of people forget to do, and that's prepare the ground for them to actually buy into your idea. So by actually exposing the weaknesses before they do, and addressing them, it actually puts you in a really, really good light. It makes you really, really proactive, and they will be less likely to tear you apart, because if they've already seen that that you've torn yourself apart but then rebuilt yourself, then they're more likely to trust you. I guess the biggest one that we had was we asked all of our customers to pay up front. This is a completely new model for tailoring. Most bespoke tailors, well, they obviously charge a lot more, and they charge half before and half after. We charge a lot less, and we charge it all before, because we want to eliminate the credit control department. So we decided just to tell our customers up front, look, we're not accepting it unless it's all up front, and these are the reasons why. And as long as we told them that before they asked the question, it was never an issue. But whenever we didn't tell them, we had people storm out and be like, well, I'm not paying up front. They mostly did come back later on after they'd seen a little bit more engagement from us in the press or wherever. But they definitely saw it as a huge barrier when we hadn't actually told them up front. The second one is to tailor your pitch to the audience. Is that showing on the side? So tell investors how you'll basically make them money. That's what they're interested in. Show your customers which of their problems you're gonna solve, and convince partners that what you're gonna build together is gonna be really successful. I think a lot of inexperienced pitchers actually go in there and decide to tell the story of what they're interested in rather than what the other person wants to hear, whereas the audience, you'll just completely disengage them. So you've got to make it very, very relevant to actually what they want to hear. Thirdly, and this is going into the pitch now, grab their attention very, very fast with a quick, I'm not saying do a one-liner or do a witty comment or anything like that, but something that they can immediately go, oh, well, I quite understand that. Even if it's an all-encompassing phrase. So I've put one there that we have. So we're the world's first online tailor. That certainly used to be very relevant for us. Now it's more the message that we're Britain's local tailor. So it's something that people can immediately get their head around. And that leads me not quite nicely onto my next point, which is make it really, really simple. I certainly, when I was back in Cambridge, I loved to make sure that people knew how complicated all my work was. So that actually goes through to the world of work as well, as many of you will know. A lot of people like to justify their jobs with how difficult the things that they're doing are. And it's actually perversely, those who make it really, really simple who actually succeed because they get other people to buy in and actually they get other people to help them. So even if it's complex, if you can make it simple and they've understood it very, very quickly, you've held their attention and they're actually going to take something away from it. And I've put there, always aim to leave your audience with three takeaways because basically they're not really going to listen to you for the entire time. I'm sure some of you have dozed off already. But hopefully you'll take away three things, each one of you, from this, and hopefully they'll be useful. So when you're closing, I think sum up very, very clearly. Obviously, recapture their imagination and make sure that you get all of I made a mistake there, but get all of your points across that you wanted to get across. Obviously, the ones that are going to be relevant for them. But sum it all up so that then basically people will remember the beginning, your opening line, something in the middle, anything to do with the middle, and usually the end if it's really, really strong. So it's kind of a really, really key moment. And then finally, passion, enthusiasm, and inspiration. So obviously try and turn it on when you're in the pitch and be really, really enthusiastic about what you're selling. Because whether it's your fourth year project or whatever, you are selling something, you are getting somebody to buy in to either give you a good mark or to give you some money. But always remain professional. And I've put down there as well, prepare all the details. It may seem very obvious, but David and I, when we prepare a presentation now, we were caught out in the early days that we looked a little bit silly at question time. Our presentation was generally quite polished, but when it came to question time, it'd be, you know, who's answering this one? So we prepare it even down to the sort of general topics on which we'll answer questions. So I hope you don't ask any of David's topics tonight. So my summary then, you're always pitching and always selling. So I guess the three takeaways that I want to kind of give you are that you've got to grab your audience's attention immediately, address what's important to them and not to you, remember who they are, and give them really clear actions and ideas to take away. So that completes my portion of presenting to you. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you. Any questions?
When you think of how this business has come to pass, you've got a master's in aeronautical engineering and a master's in computer science, and they've got this company called A Suit That Fits, entirely different background to anything they've ever done before, so it's astonishing. But if you go back to what I was saying, now, Warren said they're looking for investment. Did you hear that? Looking for investment. Did you hear the things that I mentioned? You heard return, because that's what investors are looking for. You heard about market, and one of the first things we do at the Ignite Summer School for Entrepreneurs, we cause people with new businesses to think about the market that is or isn't there for their product. They have a market, they have a growing market. Yep. You then heard about product and service and customers, and an amazing approach to business planning that is evolutionary. It goes day by day, they're learning as they go. Wonderful stuff. And you also heard about quality, and most of all, I think, and this as an investor is what I mentioned at the beginning, you heard about team. You heard about commitment. You heard about passion. Yes, I think they're passionate about what they do. And you heard about these guys in Nepal, the 100 best tailors in Nepal. Why do they keep the 100 best tailors in Nepal? Because they treat them better than other people treat them. So you've got a socially responsible business here. And investors are interested in that stuff. They want a sustainable business to invest in. And you had some questions at the end about exit. And I think it's very interesting what Warren said about exit. And I always say to entrepreneurs, you know, exit is important to think about because once you get investors in, they're going to think about how do they get their money out. But never be obsessed with exit. When I was working with Graham Minto running Domino, we didn't think about exit. We thought about how we're going to make this company bigger. And if you concentrate on growing the business and making it more successful and bigger, the exit will emerge at the right time. And you had a wonderful 6 points about pitching. I mean, I pitched to my colleagues as why they should invest in this wonderful company. But his pitch, Warren's ideas on pitching, are very valuable for you to take away. And as he said, and I think this is absolutely right, almost every discussion we have about our business, we are pitching. We're pitching. And you have to pitch to your wife sometimes when you're out every night selling the business. So I think that it's a wonderful fit for a suit that fits, and they're going to get into shoes and stockings and all that other kind of stuff. And I'm looking at them very, very carefully, and I think that you should too. So thanks again.
Thank you, Alan.